Welcome, everybody, to episode 31 of the CCB Health and Fitness Show. I am your host, Ryan Van Praet. Mixed bag of topics today. All right, everybody, and welcome to episode 31 of the CCB Health and Fitness Show. I am your host, Ryan Van Praet, and if it sounds a little bit different today, hopefully it doesn't sound too terrible, but I'm trying a different microphone. I'm not really a tech guy, but I had a couple different microphones in my stockpile, and I really wanted to give one of these new ones a shot. So we're going to see how this turns out, and hopefully the quality is good. Certainly let me know what you think. So today we have a bit of a mixed bag of topics, kind of brainstorming over the last week of what to talk about in terms of a new update for podcasting. I mean, we're certainly not in the dog days of summer. I mean, we're just getting into some warm weather down here in southwestern Ontario. Although, unfortunately, this is May 25th, and I just heard that out in Newfoundland, you guys are getting snow and a lot of it. I thought it was a joke, but I don't think it is. Unfortunately, I think you guys are getting a ton of snow. So my sympathies. I think, you know, even hardy Canadians are finished with snow by the time late May, early June rolls around. So yeah, hopefully the warm weather we're getting here finds its way over to you really, really soon. So moving on to basically what we're up to down here is we're a week away from our spring edition of our virtual 5K run and walk. And we had a really good turnout for it last fall of 2017. And we really wanted to try and get that participation up higher again for the spring edition. And I would say we're about equal to where we were. You know, last year we had roughly 15 participants, and I'd say that's probably what we've got about that amount again this year. Hopefully in the next week we'll have a few more coming along. So there's still time. If you hear this podcast and it's not June 1st yet, go on over and register and take part wherever you are. I know we've got a couple people registered from the West Coast, but they're going to be in Europe and they're actually going to be doing their 5K over there and sending us some photos. So that's pretty awesome. So when the warm weather hits, you really want to make sure, obviously, get out there and enjoy it, but really make sure you're taking the precautions to stay safe. So obviously, sunscreen is really key. Any exposed skin, you know, the UV index can really, really burn you really quick. So really pay attention to that. Always wear a hat. My head is usually like cut really short. My hair is shaved pretty short usually. So going out without a hat is generally a no-no for me. So wearing a hat, generally, I guess the sighted community there, they always say, you know, protect your eyes with sunglasses. But I don't think that's something I have to really preach about here in the blind, visually impaired community, as a vast majority of us are wearing various forms of sunglasses for vision reasons, but also it will certainly help protect our eyes. So that's really good too. You know, wear the light clothing. You know, nowadays, any sort of athletic clothing is made of that microfiber, Cool Max, you know, wicking material. It all has different names, but essentially it's that light polyester type of material that wicks moisture. And what that means is the material itself kind of takes up the moisture and keeps it off your skin more than what a cotton shirt would. So what it does is it draws the moisture off your skin, and then it does its best to kind of repel it to the outside of the shirt, and some of it can evaporate, but it keeps your skin a bit drier and cooler than a cotton t-shirt. And obviously there's less chafing, etc., especially in muggy days. You know, you're trying to get rid of that moisture. So a light material is pretty good, and you don't really have to search very far for those anymore. It used to be super specialty material, but it really isn't. Any sort of light summery t-shirt generally will have that type of material in it nowadays. So wearing that type of materials is good to keep you cool too. And obviously, you know, try not to go out into the dead of the heat of the middle of the day, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon with bright sun overhead, you know, generally pretty hot. So going out in the morning or in the evening is really good. And I know for me with my guide dog, he's a big guy and he doesn't do terribly well in the heat. That's just his thing. So we tease him that he's a winter dog. So when he goes out, generally It's in the morning or in the evening for his walks. And if we have to actually go somewhere and do anything in terms of working, you know, then we'll try to find other ways to do that, you know, taking a bus or a cab or getting a ride to our destination and then doing our work within whatever facility. And so, you know, if you have your guide dogs as well, keep a track of what they're like out in the heat. So, you know, they're going to want more water, more protective footwear. And on that note, I'd love to hear your thoughts. Guide dog users out there, let me know. In the winter, we all know what protects their feet. But in the summer, I'd love to hear your thoughts on what you do to protect your dog's feet in the summertime on that hot asphalt and concrete. So shoot me a message and let me know. So yeah, get out there, keep getting out there in the summer weather, enjoy it, get moving, break a sweat, enjoy the fresh air, the birds chirping, just get down out there and do it, but be safe. So that's the key. So, all right. So really today I wanted to talk briefly and really ask a question and explore kind of it could be a broader theme in terms of blind, visually impaired community, but we'll take it from the standpoint of health and fitness and recreation. And that's the topic of blind-only activities versus integration into mainstream sporting society. I think you guys probably know where I stand on this, but certainly my opinion is not, it's not the rule, right? Like, it's my opinion, it's my standpoint, and certainly I've heard arguments from both sides, and I really would love to hear your thoughts and opinions on this topic. So my grand theory on things is integrating myself into the mainstream society in terms of everything I do. And I think if we go back way to the beginning of all these podcasts and getting to know me a little bit, it's about how I was raised and how I grew up. And again, this doesn't mean that this is the right way, the wrong way. This is just the way I see it and the way I feel about it, and would love to hear your thoughts. But, you know, I grew up on a farm, and for all intents and purposes, I grew up in the mainstream society. I did all the regular things anybody my age would do. You know, went to high school, played on sports teams, went to university, etc. And a couple factors there. One, my vision was better. I was still legally blind from a young age, but my vision was better to accomplish many of these things. And I didn't need a lot of adaptations until, you know, later in my teens and in my 20s and now into my 30s. So that did assist in allowing that integration. You know, there was situations where, you know, I just didn't see very well and I couldn't partake in everything I wanted to. But for the most part, I was able to take part in the things I wanted. You know, I didn't drive. That was one thing I didn't do. I could have maybe for about a year, but decided, you know, I didn't really want to get my license for a year and then have it taken away. And that's, you know, a discussion for another day. But that was how I grew up. And that's how my mindset came about in terms of being a participant in mainstream sporting activities. So I ran track and field and cross country. I played on the football team for a couple of years. Yes, I did. Anybody who's seen me, they're thinking, were you the water boy? No, I actually played and I wasn't terrible, but I survived and held my own. So that was great. We had a high school hockey team, which I played on for a little bit. And I mean, I played all the other sports that kind of young teenagers play or around people did in my time period. So their beach volleyball was pretty big. I played tennis for a while, soccer, golf, etc. And then, you know, obviously that whole story getting into triathlon and that whole multi-sport scene. But my theory is, you know, I grew up believing that I was capable for the most part of doing what every contemporary of my age was able to do. You know, I figured that, you know, I was always going to have that bit of extra frustration on certain aspects of every sport and activity that I did. But for the most part, you know, if I really worked at it, I would find some way to integrate. You know, I might not be the quarterback who has eagle eyes and is going to spot somebody and be able to throw the pass or whatever. So what I did is I figured out what was going to be best for my vision. I ended up playing defense. So my main goal was I needed to see who had the ball and hit them. So that's less finicky, I guess, than being a quarterback or even a receiver where you really have to have that great hand-eye coordination. Mine was more gross motor skills. You know, so that was finding my way. And in running, I think that was a you know, maybe an easier task because, again, it, at that point, it was just a matter of staying upright and not tripping over obstacles. And in cross country, you know, what I did was sort of examine the course ahead of time if I could, or in sections I knew that were technical, I tried to run in and around people so I could see what they were doing and then kind of follow them. And hockey, I mean, that obviously you do the best you can, right? You follow the puck around and you do the best you can. And yeah, but that was my theory, right? Is, you know, I believe that I am a person first and my vision impairment, you know, it's a part of my life and it's certainly a part of my life that's created opportunities, believe it or not. But I want people to see who I am first and foremost. And that goes to the whole I Am More campaign. Right? Who are you? What makes you tick? What are your talents? What are your goals? And aim for those and don't let your vision impairment be that be all end all barrier. You know, it may end up being a barrier, but I think far too often people go, well, that's it. I can't do it because I can't see. So what's the point in trying? And I guess I grew up the other way and thought, okay, what are my goals? And how do I get there? And my vision is one of the obstacles. So let's figure out a way to adapt that, you know, and that's my take on it. That's how I grew up. That's what I strive for. And when I promote health and fitness, I certainly promote integration into mainstream activities because I believe that so many wonderful things come from it, right? Not only does it improve your self-esteem as a blind and visually impaired individual, because you're growing confidence and saying, hey, you know what, I can overcome these barriers, I can find a way to adapt this sport. And so you feel really confident and really excited that, hey, you know, I just broke down that barrier. This is awesome. Also, you're going to make a lot of new friends, right? You're going to get out there in and amongst mainstream society, and you're going to meet people of all different abilities, you know, and you're going to really find out that sometimes, yeah, you're the blind guy and people expect you to, as the blind guy or girl, to, you know, to bring up the rear and not be all that talented. And then all of a sudden you find out, hey, wait a minute, you know, I'm not that bad, you know, and I think it's a shock to you sometimes that, hey, you know, look, I'm not the worst one on this team, or I'm not the worst at this sport. Like I have some talent. And again, it builds self-esteem. And then the other thing I really love about it is it's really a subtle form of advocacy, right? You know, I'm a big believer in self-advocacy and really rocking the boat when necessary, but you can do that subtly just by showing up and putting your best foot forward and being prepared and doing your best. That's a subtle form of advocacy because what's happening is people are watching you and their expectations. And you know, I think a lot would agree with me. People don't expect a lot from us as terms of blind, visually impaired people. So the expectations are really low when you show up. And then when you actually do fairly well and you know, one thing that really shocks people is that we don't give up that easily, right? And that's a positive trait of being a person with a disability is you learn that perseverance. And so that really bodes well into mainstream sport and exercise opportunities. So, you know, you're going to make a lot of friends, you're going to subtly advocate, you're going to grow a ton of self-esteem, okay? So, you know, those are my reasons for advocating or for promoting mainstream sport and activity. But I get, you know, there is the other side to it. There's certainly sports that are disability specific, so blind only in this case. One of them can be goalball. I know there's blind only curling, and again, I've participated in that. And, you know, I don't, in my opinion, you know, having a mix, right? So I participate in mainstream curling, but also participating amongst my peers in blind only curling. You know, you can kind of compare apples to apples. How do you compare to other visually impaired curlers too? You know, and then there's blind golf tournaments and there's blind hockey. Even in triathlon and multisport and in running, you can compete against persons within your own category. Yes, you're competing against the entire field, like the entire participant list, but also you can be broken down and participating against people that are visually impaired only. So, you know, I like that sort of mixed approach, and I know there's some that really feel strongly about participating in blind-only activities, and you know I can't dive into that because I don't really know your thoughts and feelings on that. So I really want to start this as a discussion. I'd really, really love to know anybody out there who's listening who's participated in blind-only activities. let me know. Have you only ever participated in blind-only activities? And if so, why? Have you participated in blind-only and mainstream activities like myself? And if so, what are your thoughts? What do you like about each one? Have you participated in only mainstream activities? And if so, why? And what are your thoughts? You know, as I just mentioned, I do participate in a mix, but in general, I think the only blind-only activity I really participate in at this point is curling, and it's very enjoyable because you see, you can learn how other people with vision loss adapt a sport maybe in a way that you have not thought of. So that's a really cool way to learn how to adapt a sport and then go out and implement it into your everyday life if you're out there participating in mainstream sport as well. So that's kind of the brainstorm I was going through today, you know, as I'm thinking about my summer activities and thinking about the individuals in our program, how, you know, I want to promote various activities. And then, you know, you really debate, do you work to create a blind-only activity experience, you know, where you're bringing together blind, visually impaired individuals and guides, if necessary, and it's centered around participating with only your blind, visually impaired peers? Or in the creation of the programming or opportunities, do you aim to create an opportunity or an experience that is integrated with mainstream society? And the precursor to the CCB Health and Fitness program was the CCB Trust Your Buddy program, which was the grant for 2 years that we started down here in Southwestern Ontario. And its main focus was to provide opportunities for blind and visually impaired persons to participate in mainstream sporting activities alongside their sighted family and friends. And that was very specifically designed because, again, it goes towards my theory of integration with the sighted community. So any opportunity that we presented as best we could an integrated opportunity. So we did curling with everybody from the curling club. We did tandem cycling, which, you know, we tried to get out with any sighted peers that were around. Golfing. What else? I'm trying to think of the other stuff we've done. We did stand-up paddling. One of the big things we did was a running and walking opportunity. So we went as a group, but we participated in a local charity 5K. And so that was the main goal of the Trust Your Buddy program. So again, that shows sort of where my theories are at. But I really, really would love to hear your thoughts. And again, there really is no right and wrong. It's all about what empowers you, what makes you feel confident, what makes you feel able to do things and get out into the world and aim big. So, you know, I have no problem with people having a completely polar opposite opinion or approach than me, because really it's whatever drives you. And I will share the reasonings of what drive me and, you know, try to explain them, and if that fits you, then that's awesome. But if we can get somebody else with a completely different opinion from me who wants to share, that would be awesome. And then we can voice those as well. So that's kind of the debate. That's kind of the topic for today. Do you prefer blind only centered sport and recreation opportunities, or do you prefer the participation in mainstream approach that, you know, I'm very obviously in favor of? So let me know your thoughts. I'm really, really curious to hear. So that's our episode 31 for today. Just basically that open question, that open book. Let us know what you think. What else do we got? Yeah, as we're ending the episode. So one of the big things, and maybe the next episode I'll put it out there, is the I Am More campaign. That's still going. Haven't heard a lot from everybody. I've got one that came in from Corinne. Maybe we'll do that the very next episode to start it off. So send me your I Am More story, right? We got one from Marcus. We got that one from Corinne. We've had a couple others. Who are you? What are your goals? You know, what makes you tick? What are your aspirations? And yeah, you know what? I know you're probably blind and visually impaired, so, you know, you could mention that, but, you know, maybe leave that to the end. Let's hear all about who you are, what your talents are, what you want to do, you know, why you are more than your disability. So let's hear all about it, guys. So that's a wrap for today, episode 31, May 25th, 2018. And yeah, let me know again about this microphone. See if you prefer the old sound or if this sounds okay too. So just a whole bunch of questions for you today. So let's hear it. ccb.healthandfitness@gmail.com. Have an awesome day, everybody.